Yes, good afternoon. I see you all here. Not all, we're not all here. The ensemble's gone to Eau Claire, I think, today. That's part of why our numbers are not as high as usual. I have been addressing the influence of heresy on the writing of the New Testament, the whole New Testament, and I've been going through it chronologically for the last 18 months or more. And the earliest books were Paul's. That's why I've just been in Paul's book so far. We're up to his prison epistles, about 61 through 63. Last time I spoke, you might remember, it was Colossians and the arguments that Paul made against the heresy there in Colossae. But then right on the heels, at the same time virtually as Colossians, Paul wrote Ephesians. It's a longer, more general letter than Colossians was. But it was also written, I think, primarily because of what had happened in Colossae, that heresy there. I'm going to go through Ephesians itself in some detail a little later, at a later date, that is. But today I just want to point out, sort of as a background, that there were three warnings that Paul gave to Ephesus, to the church at Ephesus, as he saw that heresy approaching. Three times earlier he had begun warning them. Now, the church in Ephesus was the church that Paul, of course, had raised up himself on his third trip. Acts 19 says that he spent 2 years there in Ephesus. That would have been about 54 through 55. And at that time, back then, there was no mention, in Acts at least, of a heresy in Ephesus. But while he was there in Ephesus, he learned of the heresy and the division that was affecting Corinth. I've been through this before, but remember that that time he wrote 1 Corinthians. And then he left Ephesus and he traveled to Corinth himself. And Acts chapter 20 tells us that he spent 3 months there. And during those 3 months, he seems to have personally quieted the problem, the heresy in Corinth. But while he was there in Corinth, he hears of the outbreak in Galatia. And he very close together writes the letters to Galatians, the letter of Galatians to Galatia, and then Romans right on its heels. That was about 57 from Corinth. And that brings us to the first of the three warnings to Ephesus. And it is, and this is going to be surprising, it was surprising to me, the first of his three warnings to Ephesus is in Romans. Romans. How could it be in Romans? It's in Romans chapter 16. I never noticed this before, but there are several indications that Romans 16 was written to Ephesus, not to Rome. It was a work by Walter Schmiffels, who's a German professor of the New Testament, that first brought that to my attention. And I think it's significant not only to Ephesus, as a warning to Ephesus, but the implications to the letter of Romans as well. I'll give you six indications that the 16th chapter of Romans is written to Ephesus. Romans chapter 16. First of all, the letter to the Romans ends quite nicely at the end of chapter 15. At the last four verses, Paul asks the Romans to pray for him, and then he says in verse 33, "Now the God of all peace be with you all. Amen." That could have easily been the end of the letter, which would make 16 an afterthought or something that he put on another copy of the letter to send elsewhere. Number two indication that this is sent to Ephesus is the sheer number of people in chapter 16 that he knows. You can count it out, but I count 28 individuals that he names by name in this chapter. It's unprecedented. There's no other chapter like it in the New Testament. 28 people, three in-house congregations, two households, about 50 people at least that he knows, and he knows them very well. For example, in verse 13, he says, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." He not only knows Rufus's mother, but he considers Rufus's mother to be like his own. Makes no sense if he only knows the Romans by secondhand But it makes perfect sense if he's addressing this chapter to Ephesus, where he just spent 2 years. Number three, he greets Priscilla and Aquila here in this chapter. In verse 3, he greets Priscilla and Aquila. Early in the 50s, perhaps in the late 40s, the Emperor Claudius, according to Acts, had ordered all Jews out of Rome. Priscilla and Aquila move to Corinth, and then they move on to Ephesus. And that's the last move that we hear of Priscilla and Aquila. It's possible between the time they moved to Ephesus and the time Paul writes Romans, they could have moved back to Rome. But then later on, in about 68 AD, when Paul writes 2 Timothy, they're in Ephesus again with Timothy. So if they're in Rome in 57, they moved from Rome to Ephesus twice. I think the burden of proof would be on that argument rather than the simple fact that this is written to Ephesus. Number four, he greets three people in this chapter, and this is in verses 7 and 11. He greets three people as my kinsmen. Now, they could be literally his relatives, he doesn't say. They could be literally his relatives, or they could just be Jewish, because in chapter 9 he refers to all Jews as his kinsmen. But either way, they're Jewish. So what are they doing in Rome if the Emperor Claudius had ordered all the Jews out of Rome? They could have gone back, that's true. None of these arguments are conclusive. They could have gone back to Rome, but likely makes perfect sense that these kinsmen, these Jews, are in Ephesus, not in Rome. Number five, in verse 5, he greets a man named Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Asia. If you have an old King James, it says first fruits of Achaia, which is Greece, but all the modern translations have it correctly, Asia. He's the first fruits of Asia. What is the first fruits of Asia doing in Rome? Well, could have moved there, possible. But it makes perfect sense if he was in Ephesus, which is where the first fruits of Asia were converted. And the sixth thing is a small thing. It's just a small thing, but I just noticed that in verse 1 of this chapter, he commends unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centria. Now, Corinth sits right on that little isthmus that connects the body of Greece to the big blob in the south called the Peloponnesus. Little isthmus there. Corinth is actually the western-facing port on that isthmus. Centria is the port on the east side. So why is he sending this letter to Rome via someone who lives in the east-facing port? Just another little indication to me that he's sending it east to Ephesus. None of these is, I said, proof in itself, but taken together, I think they're the preponderance of evidence. And I didn't make this up. I said I got it from Schmithels. I could give you other names like Johannes Munk of Denmark, Franz Leinhardt of Switzerland, Rudolf Bultmann of Germany, others who have known and taught this for centuries, well, at least a century or a century and a half. I'm not saying that this is not the letter to Romans, not at all. This is a faithful copy of the letter to the Romans, but it is a copy of a copy. It's a copy of the copy that was sent to Ephesus. And that's why the greetings to Ephesus are in the last section. Now, there is just one real point of content, point that he makes in chapter 16, which he's adding on to this letter, and it's in verse 17, where he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." I think if this was written to Rome, it's a little out of place, because he knows of no heresy there. But as a warning to Ephesus, it makes perfect sense. This is, I think, the first warning to Ephesus. The first warning, the heresy is coming. Mark those who cause divisions. Hold fast to the doctrine that I taught you. And I think it's even more interesting is the value that Paul himself seems here to be putting on the book of Romans. If he sent a copy of Romans to Ephesus, It was because that letter sweeps away the underpinnings of the Gnostic philosophy. That underpinning being the idea that God, the God of the Old Testament, is not the true God. He seems to have sent Romans then a copy of the letter of Romans to Ephesus as an inoculation against that theory, against that philosophy. And it fits in right in with the context that Paul had just written Galatians against the heresy in Galatia. And now he sends a copy of Romans as to shore up the congregation in Ephesus. You know, have you ever wondered why Paul would write such a long, and for ancient times that was a hugely long letter, Romans. Such an important, such a magnificent, and in some people's minds, the most magnificent letter of the New Testament. Why would he write such a long letter and send it to one church? A church he had never even visited. I just wondered. You know, he could have, but why did he do that? I think it's instructive that he sends a copy of it to Ephesus. He probably used that letter to shore up his gospel in other churches as well. Just speculation. Okay, that was warning number one, sending a copy of Romans to Ephesus. Warning number two, after 3 months then in Corinth, when he writes Galatians and Romans, he then sets sail for Jerusalem. And on the way to Jerusalem, around the Aegean, he stops at Miletus and calls the elders of the church of Ephesus together personally in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He says to them, to the elders of Ephesus, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this," and how does he know it? But he says he knows this, "that after my departing will grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves will men arise," apparently he has experience with this happening, will men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Maybe God told him verbally, maybe God inspired it directly somehow, but I think what's more likely is he's just fought this heresy in Corinth by letter and then in person. He's just fought the heresy then in Galatia by letter. He knows the heresy is in Ephesus' neighborhood. It's on the west in Corinth. It's on the east in Galatia. It's coming to Ephesus soon. He knows this. Watch out. That was the second warning. Then he goes on from there to Jerusalem. Gets taken prisoner there and is in prison for 2 years in Caesarea. And then appeals to Caesar and gets sent to Rome for about 61 through 63. And while he's in Rome, he hears that the heresy has indeed broken out in Asia. Epaphras, the elder from Colossae, comes and tells him all about it. Colossae is about 100 miles from Ephesus. So Paul writes the urgent letter to Colossians, which I went through last time, hitting hard against those Gnostic ideas that were being taught there. Now I think a warning, some shoring up has to be done to all the churches of Asia, since the heresy has now broken out in Asia, the province of Asia. And we know that Tychicus and Onesimus carried the letters of Colossians and Philemon to Colossae. They're both destined for Colossae. But what about the other churches? How would he warn the other churches or shore up the other churches? From Colossians, we know that there was a warning sent to Laodicea. I read this before, but in Colossians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says to salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. And verse 16, "And when this epistle," that is Colossians, "is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodicea." They need to read this. "And you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." We know that Tychicus delivered three letters. We know he delivered Colossians and Philemon, as I just said. We know he delivered Ephesians to Ephesus. Was there a fourth letter? Or is there a known letter that fits well as a warning to Laodicea? And indeed, there is such a letter, and it is the letter we call Ephesians. Thus, Ephesians is the third warning to Ephesus. Third warning. It's also a warning to at least to Laodicea, if not to other churches of Asia. Now, I didn't invent this either. This was pointed out to me by the commentary of the old Baptist theologian B.H. Carroll. I hadn't noticed it, but Carroll and many others have recognized that Ephesians was indeed not written specifically to Ephesus. There are many indications of that, and I don't have time to go through them today, but next time I speak, I will point out those indications. It's pretty clear to me that Ephesians is the letter to Laodicea. There were two copies. There were two letters. There was one to Laodicea, there was one to Ephesus, but they were identical. It's like a form letter. And why would this be important? What's the difference? What difference does it make whether Ephesians was also sent to Laodicea? Well, because in chapter 4 of Colossians, Paul tells the Colossians that when they read this letter to the Colossians, they ought to also read the other letter. Ephesus, that's all the more reason then that we should read Ephesians in parallel with Colossians, because they're both directed against the same event, the same outbreak of heresy in Asia. It seems to me, coincidentally, as well as on the subject of Romans and Ephesians, that there's a parallel in this fight. And Ephesians are general letters written as follow-ups to an emergency caused by the heresy. I know Galatians was the emergency letter. Romans was the general letter that followed up, not only sent to Rome, but also sent to Ephesus. Colossians was the emergency letter written in response to the outbreak of the heresy, and Ephesians was the general letter meant for the other churches. Paul apparently thought that Romans would help a great deal in Ephesus with dealing with the problem there. And I think it probably wasn't sent just to Ephesus. It was copies of it were probably sent to other congregations of Asia as well. So we see there were three warnings, just to summarize, and there are three warnings of the great heresy that were sent to Ephesus. The first was a copy of Romans. The second was delivered in person at Miletus. And the third is the letter known as Ephesians. And I intend to go through Ephesians somewhat next time with this purpose in mind, that purpose being that it was directed against the approaching heresy.